Welcome to MoneyMD, where the money doctors are in the house. We're giving out prescriptions for better financial health and making smart decisions with your money. We give common sense solutions to your complex problems. And now, here are the doctors.
Well, Abby, it is fun to be doing the radio show with you this week again.
Likewise. I always enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. I think this is our second time doing it together, mm-hmm, I believe, mm-hmm, since on the rotation. But yeah, glad to have you here. Glad you're listening today on the podcast. If wherever you're listening from, be curious, mm-hmm, to know where our farthest listener is, where that is.
Yeah, they
every week.
They should reach out to us. Yeah. If anyone thinks that they are the farthest away, you should reach out to us. We'd be very curious to know.
Yeah, if you're in the CSRA, probably not. I know we have people farther than that. But yeah, just curious.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, it's been a good week here at the firm. It's been fun for the Augusta area with the Masters just very ending. Exciting. Scotty Scheffler
won. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like 4 strokes ahead. I mean, once we got to the back nine, it was becoming pretty apparent that Scheffler was going to be taking it.
Pulling away. And yeah, he won, I guess, 2022. So this is his second time winning. He's, mm-hmm, got a baby on the way. Just really happy for him. And seems like a beautiful time of the year just to be out at the Masters and to enjoy that weather.
Absolutely.
I know it's gorgeous and such a peaceful place out,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's very exciting. And it was funny because Scheffler, you know, gave Rahm his trophy last year, and
right,
now Rahm gave him the trophy.
Yeah,
back.
That's right. That's so, right. That's, yeah, right. Yeah, it comes around. But
that's,
yeah,
right,
it's good week. Good week. Abby, how's life? How's family been? Just overall, how have you been?
I've been doing well. Yeah, you know, my husband and I have been really prioritizing our health this year, so I've been going,
okay,
to the gym a lot,
okay, nice,
trying to eat healthier. So it's been fun. You know, been hanging out with our dog. How about,
nice,
yourself? How about,
nice,
you and Haley?
Yeah, we've been doing well. Yeah, it's been fun. We've been married 6 months as of last Sunday, so still learning a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been good. It's been a lot of good times in our church. Our church is growing and expanding and thinking through next steps with that. So it's been a fun time with church family and with community and that. But yeah, it's exciting. It's a fun time of the year with a lot of time with family outdoors, and, mm-hmm, we go biking and we go running and
nice,
time outside. So yeah, we've been doing pretty well. But yeah, anyways, thank you for listening to our show. We're glad to have you on our show with us. We're up every week at this time, and we've been doing this for longer than I've been working here. The show's been up, and,
yep,
I think John and Steve started this maybe 12 or so years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of episodes on moneymd.net if you want to go back and look. By the way, I'm Matthew Travis. I'm a certified financial planner, and I've been working here at the firm for about 6 years now.
And I'm Abby Gibson. I'm a financial advisor here, and I've been at the firm for, I guess it's been a little over, around 8 months.
Yeah, it's coming up on a year.
Yeah,
that's,
we're
so
getting
exciting,
there.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're excited to have you listening to us today. Again, you can go to moneymd.net to find our previous shows, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world. Again, would be curious to know where our furthest listener listens to us. If you think you are, you can email us, and we might even just share where that is next week.
That's right.
But anyways, we're going to start off this week with the financial fact of the week.
Yes. So this one is can be a little confusing, but a new report came out about NFTs. Those are non-fungible tokens. And essentially, the studies have shown that 95% of those holding NFT collections, they're essentially worthless investments.
Wow.
95%.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. So, essentially, you know, 79% of all NFT collections have remained unsold. So, there's way too much supply and not enough demand. So what an NFT is, it's a non-fungible token, and it's a form of crypto asset that, is used to certify ownership and authenticity of a digital file. So a lot of times this would be like a picture, you know, I know, Trump has done his own NFT collections. There's a lot of celebrities that have put them out. And they were very, they had all the hype back in COVID.
Okay.
So a lot of people were buying them. You know, I kind of consider them almost like the GameStop, you know, stock
just
of the crypto world,
right,
you know. But, you know, they're often described as a highly speculative and volatile market. You know, you have to think, like, is this demand going to be there in 5 years? You should be thinking about that with all of these new things you can be investing in. So there was a whole bunch of hype on NFTs in COVID. And I think people were kind of bored too.
Sure.
And now it's like people, they've kind of been forgotten. It's just kind of an interesting fact. 95%
are worthless. Yeah. And that just shows, you know, hearing things from TikTok or hearing things from friends or hearing things on the news, you know, these hot takes, you got to do it. You can't miss it. You can't lose money on this. You know, we see these fads through history, through mm-hmm. the data that yes, you can make money. And also 95% of these NFTs have not made money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is risky. It is speculative. Would definitely not encourage you to do this for the majority of your assets.
Right.
It can be fun money if
that's
you enjoy
exactly
it.
Right.
But also it's not part of the plan that we plan for clients. So,
yeah.
Great financial fact of the week. Very interesting data.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and so we're going to start off with our first article, which is 7 ways to reduce your taxable income.
Yeah, so this one, you know, I feel like it's been a really hot topic. Everyone, you know, unless you filed an extension, you just did your taxes. So there's a lot of ways that you can reduce that taxable income. So this is taken from an article called 22 Legal Secrets to Help Reduce Your Taxes by Mary Allen LaPonzi from U.S. News. So just pulled the most relevant ones for you.
Nice.
So taxes, you know, they're an inevitable part of life, but most people would probably rather not hand over a portion of their hard-earned money to the government. Unfortunately, there's a number of legal ways to reduce the amount you pay each year. So these are going to include credits, deductions, and advanced investment strategies. So some tax savings are available only to small business owners or the self-employed, but there are some other options available to you if you are not fitting in that area. So the tax code can and does change frequently, but here's some ways that we've seen to pay less taxes based on our current law. So the first option, and can be obvious to many people, but there might be some aspects of it you have not thought of, is contributing to a retirement account. So that's going to be the easiest way you can save on taxes, and it's a strategy that almost everyone can use no matter your income level. So you can deduct contributions to a traditional 401k and IRAs. So this is going to be, you know, you might have a simple IRA, a SEP IRA. So if you are doing pre-tax contributions, you know, you are reducing your taxable income by that amount you're contributing. So that's going to reduce the amount of federal tax you owe. So those funds can also grow tax-free until retirement. So on top of this, if you have a spouse that doesn't work while you do, you can also contribute into an IRA for them as well based off of your income. So that's something I think a lot of people miss. So while contributions to workplace 401k accounts must be made by the end of the calendar year, tax deductible contributions can be made to traditional IRAs up to the tax filing deadline.
Yeah, which is typically April 15th mm-hmm. for that. So mm-hmm. yeah, very good. Again, open to most people. The second one would be to open a health savings account, an HSA. Mm-hmm. If you have an eligible high deductible medical plan, contributing to an HSA is another way to lower your taxable income. Contributions to these accounts offer an immediate tax deduction. They grow tax deferred and can be withdrawn tax-free for qualified medical expenses. So it's a triple tax savings account.
Mm-hmm.
Any balance left at the end of the year rolls over indefinitely, which is unlike an FSA, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about in the next one, but HSAs roll over indefinitely, similar to assets in a retirement account. And if you have an HSA, we would encourage you to have that money invested so that it's growing over time, unless you're pulling out money every year for that. If you have a balance in there, try to have that grow a little bit mm-hmm. Over time.
Yes.
There are limits to that, just like retirement accounts, but those limits are 4150 for a single person and 8300 per year for a family. There's also a catch-up contribution of 1000 per year if you're over the age of 55. So that's an HSA. Now, the third one is an FSA, a flexible spending account. If you don't have a high deductible health insurance plan, you can still pay for medical expenses with tax-free dollars. If your employer offers flexible spending accounts, this is the way to do that. FSAs are funded with payroll deductions, which can be used to pay for expenses ranging from insurance, copays, to dental cleanings, to over-the-counter medication. And many employers offer these FSAs for both health and dependent care. So if you have kids or grandkids and you have that dependent care expense, FSAs can, in certain circumstances, if the employer offers it, can cover that. Mm-hmm. In both cases, there are limits to how much you can deposit from your payroll, and money is forfeited at the end of the year that is unused. So FSAs are different from HSAs, but can still be valuable as you're thinking through reducing your income.
Yeah, those FSAs, like you were saying, you get, use it or lose it. HSA, you don't lose it if you don't use it. So that's an important differentiator. But yeah, I'm I found out my sister, she had an HSA she'd been contributing to and none of it was invested. So I think that's something people don't usually consider. So make sure you do check, log in and check your account.
That's right. Good tip.
All right. So number four. So these are going to be more applicable to those who are self-employed if you have a if you receive a 1099. So number four is use your side hustle to claim business deductions. So self-employed individuals, full-time or part-time, are eligible for scores of tax deductions. That means your freelance projects, your time spent as a rideshare driver, could land you considerable tax savings. So some of these business deductions available include business-related vehicle mileage, a home office deduction, shipping, advertising, website fees, you know, percentage of your home internet that's used for your business, professional publication subscriptions. There is a million varieties of this that you should definitely look up. Those are deductible to that income you receive. So if you're paying for your own health, dental, or long-term care insurance, those premiums may be deductible too. So IRS rules can be complex. So as far as advanced tax saving strategies, it's best to work with an accountant just to be sure you're not overdoing those deductions.
Right.
And then the fifth option to reduce that income is accelerated depreciation for business purchases. So this is also if you're self-employed, but when businesses buy property such as machinery or office computers, they may be able to write off the purchase through a process called depreciation. This involves deducting a portion of the purchase price each year, depending on the expected lifespan of the item. As a result, the annual deduction for even a large purchase can be quite small on a year-by-year basis. For 2023 expenses, however, business owners can deduct 80% of the cost for certain business purchases. Then the remaining 20% off can be written as depreciation over the course of several years. Known as bonus depreciation, this provision is optional and available only for property that has a useful lifespan of 20 years or less, and that has been purchased from an unrelated person. In 2024, the bonus depreciation drops to 60% and continues to decline until it's phased out entirely by the end of 2026. So make sure you are taking a look at this if you're a business owner or have business equipment.
Yeah, that's a great one. This next one is to contribute to a 529 plan. So if you have children or even grandchildren, or if you plan to go back to school yourself, you can open up a 529 plan through your state for college savings. There is no federal tax break for these contributions, but some states do allow the residents to deduct contributions on their state income taxes. What's more, withdrawals from these 529 plans are tax exempt as long as they are used for qualified education purposes. If your child doesn't go to school or doesn't need all the money, it can be assigned to another beneficiary, another child, another grandchild, another niece, nephew, really anyone. It can be assigned to someone else. You can also use up to $10,000 to repay student loans. Starting in 2024, there's also an option to transfer up to $35,000 from these accounts to a retirement account. Now, the rules are still being worked out with CPAs and honestly with the IRS with what that looks like. Mm-hmm. But there is a provision that you can move money from a 529 to a Roth IRA account.
Mm-hmm.
The last one on this page, Abby, that we're going to look at is to donate your required minimum distribution. And we do this for a number of clients, and a number of people have taken advantage of this. But this is a way to support your charities and lower your tax liability at the same time. It's through donating your RMD, required minimum distribution, from your retirement accounts. Currently at age 73, retirees need to begin making RMDs from traditional retirement accounts, such as a traditional 401k or a traditional IRA or a SEP or a simple, those types of accounts that are pre-tax. Mm-hmm. This money is considered income, and depending on the amount, it could significantly increase a person's overall tax bill. Making a qualified charitable distribution, or a QCD, is one way to bypass these taxes. Assuming you don't need the money from an RMD, it can be sent directly to the qualified charity, which makes the distribution tax exempt. It's important to remember that these distributions cannot be made for someone else's IRA. It can just be made for your own. So, QCDs are a great way to move pre-tax dollars to a charity versus moving after-tax dollars in your bank account to a charity. It can save you taxes if you do that efficiently and well over time.
Absolutely. Yep. So that one's only if you're over 73. So, but yeah, there's a lot of really good options, discussed in this article. These are the ones we see that are most applicable to people. If you have any questions on any of these, please reach out to us. But these are the kind of things we want to strategize with you as a client. So yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good article. Absolutely.
So our next thing to cover is our question of the week.
Okay.
So Matthew, can I move some IRA money into an HSA account?
Wow. Great question. And I'm thankful that I was able to prepare for that, because that's a hard one. But the answer is yes. And it's through something called a qualified health fund distribution. And so it's an QHFD is the acronym for that. And so one time in your lifetime, you can move money from a IRA account into an HSA account. One time, you have to have an eligible HSA account open to be able to do this. And you do not get the tax break of contributing money to the HSA, but it is a tax-free transfer. So why would you do this? You would do this if you are not able to contribute money in the current year to an HSA, but you have money in an IRA and you want to move that money into an HSA for medical purposes. Mm. And so again, you can do this one time per year up to the limit of the HSA contribution. So for individuals, I think we had just said it was $4,150, mm-hmm. and for families, $8,300.
Yep.
You can do that one time in your lifetime from an IRA to an HSA, and that's called a QHFD.
So is that one time per year or per your lifetime?
Per lifetime.
Okay, so that's kind of a big deal.
One and done.
All right. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, like we were discussing, you can use that for your long-term care policy. So there's some really good reasons that you'd want to do that. That's a really good thing to know.
Yeah, and again, it transfers from pre-tax account to an after-tax account if you use the HSA account for medical. So great option.
Yeah.
Little known caveat in the tax law that
you
can move money to an HSA. So
that's awesome.
Great question of the week, by the way. And if you do have questions, please email us and even tag it of, hey, I'd like to hear this on the radio show. And we can ask your questions here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our last article. And this is from Ramsey. And it's how to say no. And Abby, I want to ask you, are you good at saying no? Or is that hard for you before we get into this article?
Well, if I say no, then I feel
then
like this is...
you've mastered
it. It's like
it.
I'm not good at saying no, no, no. It has been something I've had to learn over the years.
Okay.
When I first graduated, in high school through college, I was a yes man. I said yes to everything. I over participated in things. So it takes time. I feel like with age, it gets easier to say no to people.
Yeah. And I feel like many people, and we're going to read through this article, but so many people are busy and have so much on their plate because they have such a hard time saying no
right.
and setting good boundaries. And we see this even with financial goals, that discipline and the budgeting framework to say no to something now so you can say yes to so many other things later. That's hard.
That's great.
That's hard. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this article is, you know, most people say yes way too much. Mm. And like you said, we like to help people. We like to get involved. We think that without us, everything will collapse. Even if it's not egotistical, like I'm, the best person to do this, it can still be a self-centered view to say, no, if I'm not here, then it won't happen. And the reality is, if that's the case, then your organization really needs to
reevaluate.
Have some more fundamental, goals to say, all right, how do we make this, whatever it is, sustainable without me, without this one person? Because the reality is we're not the hero of every story. It's not our job to take care of everything and everyone at all times. This is hard for some people to hear, myself included. Again, saying no is hard. But here's the deal. You don't just have the right to say no to certain things. We would argue, and this article would argue, you have the responsibility to. Mm-hmm. We're going to read later on that for every yes you say, you are in fact saying no to something else. And
that's
so what
so
we're
going
to go through is just how do you prioritize your life to say yes to the things that you ought to say yes to and to have the freedom to say no to the things that you need to say no to. And I'll end this section with this before I pass it off to you, Abby. This is important. An honest no is always better than a dishonest yes. And we'll get into that a little bit, but it's essentially saying when we say no because it is best for us and our families and it's best for the situation, it's much better than saying yes when we ought not to have said yes. Mm. And then we can grow in bitterness or discontentment through that. So it's hard, and we'll walk through this article, but that's again, this is from the Ramsey Network, and it's a great article on how to say no.
Yeah, so to just kick it off, why it's important to say no. So as uncomfortable as it might be, you know, saying no is important because it's going to help you prioritize what matters most to you. So by saying no to certain situations like social events that you're not interested in or, you know, spending outside of your budget or eating something unhealthy, or, you know, even traveling when your schedule is already full of multiple responsibilities, you're going to be able to set boundaries that are going to protect your wellness, your peace, and your resources. No is the most basic boundary you can set around what you value and what you will not put up with. Mm. And this should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway, you know, never feel bad for saying no to something that's going to harm you or make you feel unsafe in any way ever.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's important to understand that we're not saying that we just want to optimize our lives and just have the most comfortable lives that we want, and we're going to say no to everything. That's not what we're saying. We're saying to really evaluate and say, what should you say yes to? What are the things in your life that that God has called you to, that God has equipped you to do, that God has given you gifts for, that you can really play out and be obedient to that, where someone else may not be as gifted as you, and where can you say no to that someone else might be able to step into?
Absolutely.
And so to keep going, the article goes on to ask, well, how do you say no? And so here's 6 tips for how to say no. The first one would be to know what's most important to you. Saying no starts with knowing your values and needs, especially in your current phase in life. When you don't take the time to determine your values and needs, you'll end up spending time and attention on things that quite honestly may not be important for you. You'll be pulled all over the place and your body will sound the anxiety alarms. And on the flip side, when you say yes to what matters, people tend to feel satisfied and at peace knowing you've spent your time intentionally. And so maybe you can start by asking this question: what's most important to me in this season of life? And start by writing down the top 5 things and use that list as a decision-making filter. So maybe it's exercising every day, or maybe it's exercising twice a week. Maybe it's eating dinner with my family every night. I want to be at the dinner table and be present and engage with my family that's around me. Maybe it's serving my community throughout the week. Maybe it's paying off debt. Maybe it's getting enough sleep at night. I know that's a goal for me I need to do. Maybe it's attending a church service or hosting people in your home, whatever that might be, it's really just saying, what are my priorities? And then listing them out. And then you go down the list and say, all right, well, if it's this first priority, I'm generally going to say yes to that because that's a high priority for me in my life where I am at this point.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, something I do is, you know, I'm really big about habits, and that's something I'm improving on every year. But, you know, what are some habits that are have to haves in your life? Like, what are things you don't want, you know, to like something you want to do every week and you feel like it's necessary, like your health, you know, like the workouts, you know, I have a goal. I have to work out at least do these three workouts every week minimum. And that's a requirement. So, you know, creating those guardrails where these are the have to haves and the things that aren't have to haves, you know, maybe that can be something we can do next week or, you know, another time.
But,
You've got to set those boundaries for sure. Which is what the next topic is, is number two, setting those boundaries. Cause you know, those aren't selfish. Those are a gift to you and those that you care about. They're going to protect you and what's important to you. So when you don't have boundaries, you're going to end up going places you don't want to go. You spend money you don't have to impress people whose opinions don't matter. Boundaries are going to keep you from overcommitting and getting way too busy, and they keep your relationship safe and mutually reinforcing. So for example, if you're going to value rest, you should set a 9:30 p.m. bedtime for yourself on weeknights. Then if a buddy invites you to a concert last minute on Thursday night, you'll make the super annoying and painful but right decision to say no because you've set that priority. That's a have to have. Or if you have a 9:30 p.m. bedtime, but you value hanging out with your friends, you'll go to the concert knowing you traded a night of wild fun for being tired the following day. So it's all about being intentional with your time. You know, we can try so hard to accommodate everyone else, all the while getting off track in our own lives. So boundaries help you see and know the difference between other people's priorities and your own. So like, you know, faith is important to me as a Christian. You know, I want to make sure I'm intentional on my time with him, well, with God. And if something is getting in the way of that, you know, it's really important to take a look at that and, you know, reprioritize, you know, and setting those boundaries. Yeah. Like this is a have to have.
That's really good. And boundaries do get a bad rap, but like you're saying, it's freeing. And I heard a quick example. And it was a youth pastor, and he had a fish tank on the stage, and there was a fish in there, and he said, you know, is the fish free? And the kids were like, no. And so he poured the small fish tank into a bigger fish tank. And he's like, is he free now? And the kids are like, no, let him go. And he poured him into a massive fish tank. And he said, is the fish free? And everyone, the kids are going crazy. They're like, no, let the fish go free. And the youth pastor dumped the fish tank on the ground with no walls. And he looked at the kids. He's like, is the fish free now? And obviously, there's a bad example because the kids are crying. They're like, save the fish. We're trying to save the fish. But the example is to show the boundaries of the fish tank are what brought the freedom for the fish to live as he ought. And so if we remove the boundaries that are healthy for us, it can tend to lead to a constraining lifestyle versus the freedom. So those boundaries are freeing, like you said. This third one, Abby, is to talk through your decisions with someone you trust. We think we know the best in all of our life, and we think we are the wisest in our lives, but to have a plethora of advisors and counselors and friends and parents and even siblings and children who we can bounce ideas off of and say, hey, what do you think about this in my life, can be so valuable as we're walking through what are my priorities in life.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really important to have. And then the fourth is choosing guilt over resentment. So never say yes in order to feel a sense of guilt, ever. Saying yes because you feel guilty will only lead you to resentment. And even if you try to put on a smile and act like you're enjoying yourself, other people are going to pick up on how you're feeling. People-pleasing, hunting down approval, and feeling bad about saying no are tactics we use to guilt trip ourselves into commitments that don't align with our values. So if you feel guilt creeping up when you're making a decision, pay attention to that feeling and don't let it drive you to do something that you don't want to do. I think it's much worse to be fake and people can see your attitude, and it's going to come off worse than just saying no in the first place.
Yeah, that's exactly right. People can tell, right? Mm-hmm. This fifth one is to respond with kindness. And so there's a saying that says, to be clear is to be kind, or to be kind is to be clear. And so we want to be people who are clear in our intentions. And so if someone asks you to do something that is against one of your priorities or that does not fit in with the boundaries you've set, to be very clear would be to be up front with them and direct, and to say, hey, I'm so thankful for this opportunity. And also, I can't do that now for X, Y, and Z. And also to be kind in that. It's not condescending. Mm-hmm. It's not to say, I can't believe you asked me to do that. But it's genuinely to say, hey, I'm so thankful for that opportunity. And also, I can't do that right now. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so to be clear and to be kind and to be gentle and compassionate as we do say no, it is important. We don't want to just be mean in that. So to be clear and kind is a part of that as well.
Right. And the sixth one is using a script to say no. So it might sound silly, but you can script out how to say no ahead of time. Practice responses can make the conversation so much smoother. For example, some people find a script helpful when they get invited to any one of a dozen holiday parties in the time warp between Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. Because they have a go-to response, they don't have to figure out what to say in the moment. So you might need a script too. Maybe you need to plan what you're going to say the next time your boss asks you to take on extra work. Maybe all your friends are getting married and having kids and you don't have the money to go to every wedding or baby shower. You need to find a polite way to opt out. So think about writing scripts for different categories of your life.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. And so that's the conclusion of the article. It talks about, just how do we set boundaries? How do we say no? How do we not have an anxious filled life? Which I think is something that most people struggle with, is just being anxious and having this expectation that, quite honestly, we just can't fill. And so this is a good article from Ramsey. We're thankful that you listen. We hope it was helpful. If you have questions, we do desire to be planners who are financial planners, but also just genuinely care about people. And so if you ever do need to talk through some of this or bounce ideas off, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We would love to talk through that with you. And so with that, we are at the end of our show, Abby. We're concluded, except for one piece, and that is some medicine for our listeners, the prescription of the week. And Abby, take it away.
Yeah. So the prescription's really talking about HSAs, health saving accounts. So it's aligned right with our topics we were talking about. So definitely take a listen to that, just kind of discussing the importance of HSAs, the importance of investing them, and just how they are a triple tax advantage. So definitely take a listen to that. It just kind of reinforces what we're saying. But I had a couple of people I was working with that needed to reduce their taxable income for the year so that they could qualify for Roth contributions. And that's something that we did was maxing out their HSA contributions.
Nice.
So that's there's great. A lot of cool tricks we can use. And that's something we want to help you out with every year. Just kind of planning in advance for your taxes.
That's good. HSAs are so good.
They are.
Thanks for that, Abby. All right. Well, this has been this week's edition of MoneyMD. Tune in next week on MoneyMD.net to hear more prescriptions for your financial health. Check out our website, MoneyMD.net, and send us your questions or give us a call at Richard Young Associates at 706-739-0725. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the week.
Material in this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. None of the information contained in this broadcast is intended by the host to be a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. All hosts are representatives of Richard Young Associates, a registered investment advisor. About a certain sound.